I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. Kentucky voters have spoken with a loud and rather clear voice. They overwhelmingly supported Republican Donald Trump over Democrat Hillary Clinton, and they enabled the GOP to take over the state House of Representatives, ending a nearly century-long hold on the chamber by the Democrats. Now, this means that Republican Governor Matt Bevin now has majorities in the House and Senate to help him implement his conservative agenda. Late last night, I sat down with UK political science professor Stephen Voss to get his take on where state leadership might be headed in the future.
A lot of voters prefer divided government. They like when the Republicans and the Democrats have to compromise before they can pass a law, because most voters aren't as conservative as Republicans or as liberal as Democrats, and they sort of have a faith that what comes out of a compromise is going to be closer to their preferences than either party will deliver. Now, voters do get benefits from having a unified government, a government that's all in control of one party, that has nothing to do with ideology or the way the parties lean. And that is, usually one party can plan better when there's a crisis such as a recession and they need to come up with a tough budget. They're more likely to be able to put together an effective plan than when both parties have a piece of the planning. Usually what comes out of a divided government in a crisis situation is more like sausage and less like a plan. Another benefit of having a unified government is when people want to blame someone, they know who to blame. When you have a divided government system, it's too easy for the Democratic House to blame the Republican governor and the Republican governor to blame the Democratic House, and there's less accountability. But when things go well, the Republicans will benefit now. When things go badly, the Republicans will be the party to pay the price.
Let me ask you about the federal elections in the 6th District and the U.S. Senate. Democrats were facing an uphill battle because there's only one in Congress right now, and that's John Yarmuth out of Louisville. So talk about the uphill battle that they had in trying to get a seat in Washington.
Democrats running for Congress in Kentucky would always have had a problem under any environment just because it's a fairly Republican state. But when you look at what happens in lopsided states, often the other party can win. You see senators representing, Midwestern states that are fairly Republican, Plains states, Rocky Mountain states, and you see governors of the other party. Even lopsided states will consider the other side in lots of circumstances. What made the task even harder for the Democrats running for Congress this year is that the presidential circus was gobbling up everybody's attention and basically exhausting our ability to read about and process politics. So, Jim Gray challenging for the Senate, for example, Nancy Jo Kemper challenging for the House, really couldn't get the attention that you need to get past the state's normal lean. Jim Gray tried. He tried to say, Rand Paul's not your style Republican. I'm not the type of Democrat you usually dislike. Consider me. A lot of people didn't even learn his name. Nancy Jo Kemper, same issue. Meanwhile, the Democratic Party, here's another thing that hurt them. The Democratic Party had lots of opportunities all over the country, places where they could pick up Senate seats in fairly promising environments, places where they could pick up House seats. And that's where they were going to send their money. They weren't going to bet on a long shot like a Democratic victory in Kentucky, which is different from the attitude they had in 2014, where they didn't have as many prospects and the idea of trying to get rid of Mitch McConnell appealed to them. Or in our governor's race when there were very few other games in town so the Democratic money could pour into here for Jack Conway.
Eastern Kentucky, it's never going to be blue again. I mean, never is a long time, but the trends are definitely anti-Washington establishment and certainly anti-Democrat, anti-liberal Democrat, and it caught up with, of all people, Greg Stumbo in the House.
We've seen a shift toward the Republicans, not just in eastern Kentucky, but in general in the Appalachian region. That's been a little mini realignment of voter loyalties that's crossed the country, and it wasn't about personalities and wasn't even about individual state parties. To say that that's going to stick, though, I think is trying to read too much into the tea leaves of one or two elections. We could have a recession in the next 4 years. There's decent odds just because of the cyclical economy. That could get people focused less on cultural issues like abortion and same-sex marriage and focused more on pocketbook issues. When you're talking about a region like Eastern Kentucky where there's a lot of poverty but a lot of social conservatism, they can flip on a dime depending on what they're thinking about when they go into the voting booth. So, you know, you don't want to be the State Democratic Party and sit around saying, I hope something really bad happens to the country so that people will reconsider their political norms. They need to try to find a strategy that works in the current environment too. Nonetheless, trying to say that the Republicans have a lock on Eastern Kentucky because they do right now when we're debating things the way they are now, I think is too much of a stretch. Remember this as well. Both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party had a major insurgency. Now, Clinton fended off the Sanders insurgency. The Republicans failed to fend off the Trump hijacking of their party. But that really means that both what it means to be a Democrat and what it means to be a Republican, even on the national level, is in flux right now. And after all that dust settles and we know what it's going to mean to be a Democrat and a Republican, voters will have to reconsider where they belong now.
Final question. We've seen in the aftermath of, I think, of the special elections, the special primaries, there was a group, Adam Edlin and a sports radio talk show host, Matt Jones, were trying to implore Democrats to be proud to be a Kentucky Democrat and kind of delineate themselves from the national Democrat. Do you see that kind of move taking hold? And is that what is going to keep the Democratic Party relevant in a state that is just becoming much more red as we speak?
You know, I don't know exactly what they mean by being proud to be a Democrat. I'm not sure anybody knows exactly quite how they're trying to redefine the brand yet. On the one hand, what I seem to hear is be more partisan, be more clearly Democratic and basically under the surface. In other words, embrace liberalism rather than trying to move to the center. On the other hand, an invitation to break your party's definition away from the national and make it about what the voters want here doesn't sound like an attempt to make the Democratic candidates more liberal. And I mean, realistically, it would mean to make them more conservative. And so I'm still watching to see how they're trying to redefine a Kentucky Democrat. What I can tell you is that the political science seems to lean toward the first strategy, the strategy of try to get more openly partisan or liberal Democrats. On balance, does not work. It's what the activists always say. If only we had more extreme candidates, if only we had better campaigners pushing our message, we would have done fine. The voters aren't rejecting what we stand for. On the other hand, if what they mean is we need to go where the middle of the road voter is in this state and stop being so bound by what it means to be a Democrat nationwide where a more liberal message is permissible, then that is exactly what tends to succeed in a state like this.
That was University of Kentucky political science professor Stephen Voss on Decision 2016 here in Kentucky. I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News.